The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
Now, many of you, of course, will know of Philomena Lee, whose story was brought to the screen in the award-winning film Philomena. Philomena herself became pregnant at just 18 years of age. She was sent to Shanross Abbey in Roscrea, where she gave birth to her son, Anthony. They lived together for about 3.5 years when he was adopted out to a family in the United States. And she and Anthony, as Philomena has told us before, she spent many years looking for him and him for her, unbeknownst to each other. And by the time she found Anthony, he had passed away. Desperately sad story. But she does join me this morning on this very important day. This is the day that sees the publication we've been talking about of the report into the state's investigation into the mother and baby homes. And Philomena is joined on the line this morning by Susan Lowen, who's the co-founder of Adoption Rights Alliance. So we'll go to you, Susan, in a few minutes' time. But Philomena, let me start with you. Good morning to you and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Ryan. Thank you very much indeed, anyway.
It's nice to talk to you again. You woke up this morning, Philomena, knowing that this report was going to be out. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling, it seems that, Ryan, that everything has come back to me. Mind you, I've never lost the whole idea of my story, but it has come back to me full force this morning, you know. But as I say, in a way, I'm glad that it's come to the fore again, you know, that... I feel it would bring back so many memories altogether.
And the idea of a commission of investigation, Philomena, was that important to you?
Well, it was actually. I mean, it was very important to me because it did for me what I know a lot of other hundreds of mothers that suffered like I did at the time, that maybe we'd be able to come out and give them the chance to be able to look for their babies and what have you, you know. So it's just that it's given them a chance that so they can come forward and be able to find out so much about themselves that they were never given any information at all. We just, like myself, we're just at the deep end. I was there for 3.5 years and never had any information. But when I left, after 3.5 years, to take my son away from me without just telling me, you know, that he just told me just before he went, he was going to be adopted to America. Well, they told me that in June, 5 months before he was going to be adopted, but they didn't say where or anything. But there was no way I could do anything about that because my father at the time had disowned me. But the only one was my brother. My two sisters I never did. But because of the shame of it all, Brian, I couldn't. My two sisters worked in Dublin, but they never knew where I'd gone over the 3.5 years. Dad didn't want to know because they asked Dad where I was, and he said he didn't want to know. Actually, I was dead to him, you know. But anyway, the only one was a brother of mine. But all the whole 3.5 years, I worked in the laundry there. Mm-hmm. It was very, very sad. Oh, sorry.
Take your time.
I was working in the laundry and they sent for me. So I had to go up to the room. They said, there's somebody coming to pick your son up. I tell you, I was so shocked to think, shocked in the beginning of it all. But then again, when I said there was a film made of it.
Yes.
And, when I saw the film, it brought it all back again to me. It was so awful. And in the film, it actually happened the way it did. You know, there was one very nice young nun there, and she was very good to me all through the 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I had nobody visited me, except when I wrote, and when they told me that I was going to be adopted, I wrote to my dad, and my dad and my brother came in, to see me. My brother Tosh, who was my ally really the whole way through. But anyway, I never had any visitors, I never had any money, I never had anything for the whole 3.5 years. But this nice little nun, she was good, and she, every time she was the head of the nurseries, And now and again she'd say, go in and have a look at go in and give him a cuddle or something like that. But anyway, apart from her, it was awful, you know. It was just day in, day out, half past 8 till 4 o'clock, laundry.
And from the moment you were giving birth to Anthony, you were taunted by the nuns, you were mocked.
Yes, we were more or less really when I went into labour, because didn't know what it was like at all, you know. I didn't even know for the few months that I was pregnant, because you know how it happened, you know. I had to leave the convent school. I went to convent school for 12 years. You were put into an orphanage when my mum died, because there were 6 of us, 3 boys and 3 girls, and of course Dad couldn't cope with it all. You know, he was only a young man himself at the time. Mm. And we were poor. I don't think we were that, you know, so we were put into a convent school in Limerick, Mount St. Vincent. And there we stayed for 12 and a half years. And then we had to leave there when we were 18, I think. So that's when I left, 18. And I went to stay with an aunt. There's an aunt she lived in Limerick City. So I went to stay with her and worked for a few months with her. And she, like, you know, where I went to the show that night, the carnival, the first time I'd ever seen anything like it in my whole life, you know. So anyway, I went to met Anthony's dad and, you know, did the deed.
Yeah.
Ryan, you know, and you didn't know what it was all about.
No,
you know?
Of course
didn't
not.
Didn't have a clue what it was all about, you know. I look back and think, oh, what an idiot I was.
And Philomena, let me ask you. Let me ask you a question about being in the orphanage and the daily treatment to you. I mean, when you think of it, a lot of the women who gave birth to the children were snatched away immediately. You had this 3.5 years with Anthony.
I certainly did. Can you just imagine 3.5 years? And we worked laundry from 8:30 till 4 o'clock, and then we were allowed in for an hour to, you know, to play with our babies and have a chat with them and what have you. And then, life went on. I sort of lots of things I can't half remember it. It was
of
so
course.
Bad, you know.
Of course.
It was so bad, you know. And then, as I say, day in, day out, clothes were off. We had to wear uniform things were off, things we had to wear. But there again, I suppose we just got used to it 3.5 years and loving him and doing everything I could, you know. The hour we used to spend with him, that I used to teach him little songs and little things about, our, you know, Irish things all in them days, you know. But the awful thing of 3.5 years and then just to be snatched away. And that's they said, come on, your son is going to be adopted. And just told me just like that. Well, I'll tell you. And it was a week before Christmas. And this last helper, I'll tell you, once he'd gone, I couldn't, the shock of it. It was the little nun, the nice little nun again. She said to me, your son is going today. And she ran me up the stairs. I mean, the end of the film was right, you know. She ran me, and I looked out, and I God, I could not see him going off in the car with this lady, you know. And
you spent so much of your life, as did Anthony, looking for each other.
Yeah, we did then. Over the years then, of course, we were absolutely more or less browbeaten that there was no way we were to tell our stories, keep it. And it was an awful shame all through those years, you know. The 3.5 years I was there. I mean, every time you went to confession, I mean, I don't have to say that, but every time we went to confession, you had to confess your sin. And we used to, at the time, we were such idiots, really, that we didn't realise that once you confessed it, it was supposed to be forgiven. But it never seemed to be forgiven, you know. It was always, when there was opportunities, they would say, now, you remember, you should be ashamed of yourself and all this kind of thing, having a baby like that. And, you know, we got this from time to time, you know.
You gave your testimony, Philomena, to the commission.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, was that a difficult experience for you, or was it a helpful experience for you?
Well, I think it was a helpful experience, very helpful experience. They taught me, I mean, I've probably forgotten some of it again, but the thing was, it was a very helpful, taught me things, I learned things that I hadn't really, had kind of pushed to the bottom of my mind, you know. It was a really helpful experience for me, you know.
And so, what do you think today, for example? I mean, obviously you haven't read the report, no one's read the report in its entirety that we know of, and but it's out today. What will this mean, Philomena, for you, for the other girls who became the women who had to live with this story and their children? What is today about?
Today is about giving the other women, most of the other women as well, giving them the opportunity to be able to find out about the birth of their child. Also, because a lot of them can't get any of their records. A lot of them, there were no records at all, you know, sort of. Over the years, so many of them have tried and tried and tried to get records, but they were never given to them. And this is what, this was one part of it, you know, the records of it. Access to the records. This is what they should get, really, access to, yes, the records. And also, sometimes I think, too, maybe there should have been maybe an apology, maybe from the church, or there should be an apology from the church, and also from, you know,
the government. We have an apology coming from the Taoiseach tomorrow, which I,
yeah,
I do.
Oh, you have, yeah, you have. Well, I think from the Taoiseach, from the church, that that would help a little bit, I think. Right. It would ease maybe some of the sadness and we had to go through, you know.
Susan.
It was, I don't know if I'm able to get, and you saw how hard it was. It was awful, just and going through the whole of life. Then I went, when he was adopted, I cried all the whole, this was in the, all the whole weekend and all Christmas. They took him away a week before Christmas.
Yeah.
And then when he went, when they said, they used to tell me to shut up, I was making a nuisance of myself, you know, because I was all Christmas on my own, crying. And of course, they used to get fed up with me. I think I said, I wanted him back, and you can't have him back. And, you know, he should be grateful that he's gone to a good Catholic home, and, you know, this kind of thing. And then they got me a job. They called me up one day and they said, I was still working in the laundry then, and they said, you're going to get a job. We're sending you to England. You're going to get a job. And they sent me to another one of the branch of their nunnery, you know. They, mm-hmm, sent me there, and I worked there for 2 years, Liverpool. But for women today, I think they really, really need to be able to have access to the records, because, yeah, I think a lot of them are not able to get the records.
Well, let me put that to Susan Lowen, who's the co-founder of the Adoption Rights Alliance. Susan, is this a cathartic day?
Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning to you, and thank you for joining us. Is this a cathartic day for Ireland?
It is, and it's going to be a cathartic day for all of those people, the mothers, the children, who suffered huge human rights abuses in the mother and baby homes. But I'd like briefly to remember all of those mothers and children who won't be covered by this report,
yeah,
because it doesn't cover any of the mothers who gave birth in state maternity hospitals or private nursing homes, but whose children were similarly taken for forced adoption.
Sure.
It won't cover the experiences of those children born to them, because essentially they were born in the wrong building.
And that is, it's probably a fight for another day, but in other words, the fight goes on. I mean, this is one battle won, but certainly the war for, no doubt, truth and reconciliation, if you like, continues.
Yeah, and I do hope that the findings of the commission are suitably robust. We don't want to be bogged down in the minutiae of, you know, the day-to-day routines necessarily of the women and children in those homes. We want to hear the commission referring to forced adoptions in Ireland, enforced disappearances, family destruction, social engineering, because this was a whole-scale industry funded, sponsored, monitored and regulated by the state through their agents, both the Catholic Church and also the Protestant churches. Because we mustn't forget that the children who went through the Bethany homes suffered very similar fates, and in fact perhaps higher levels of neglect that those that went through the Catholic homes.
The language of today, it talks about human trafficking. The language yes. then talked about finding good Catholic homes in America. But if we were to apply today's language to history's actions, it's essentially whole-scale, dare I say it, state-sponsored human trafficking.
It absolutely is. And unless the Commission has used that vocabulary, and if it hasn't, then the state needs to step up now and use those that yeah. phraseology, mm-hmm. because anything else will be a diminishment of the experiences of the women. And in 1967, Ryan, 97% of all non-marital children were taken for adoption. So, I mean, that's social engineering at a scale almost unheard of anywhere else in the world.
Okay.
And people should not, they should not allow it to be described as women having given up their children for adoption or having abandoned them. In 20 years of talking to so many, you know, women and children affected by this, I have yet to meet a mother who voluntarily relinquished her child. The children were taken by and large for forced adoption.
Susan, thank you for joining us this morning on this momentous day in Ireland. And Philomena Lee, my old friend, it's been good to talk to you today. I hope that when you get your eyes on this report and as much of it as you can get through, that it's some cold comfort to you, because it's a long time coming, and you, as a representative of all the women listening this morning and their children and grandchildren, I just want to say thank you. We're with you, we're thinking of you, and we hope you're all okay today.
Oh, thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you. I hope I've been some use anyway, you know.
Very much so.
But I'm so glad about it all. I'm glad it's all coming to the fore, you know. So much was hidden for years, you know, so...
Hopefully it's a brighter day
okay.
today.
Yeah.
Philomena,
okay,
thank you so much. Lovely to talk to you again.
And you too as well. Have a good day yourself anyway, and all this, and Susan as well. Thank you, Susan, if you're able
good
to
talk
hear
to
me.
You again, Phil.
Okay, thank you
so
both
much.
Very much. Thank you, Philomena Lee, joining us on the radio this morning. Susan Lowen, co-founder of Adoption Rights Alliance, also joining us on this morning of mornings. In some ways, it is an extraordinary day in terms of the country's history, and in some ways, as I say, the rug has been lifted and we're looking underneath, and it's not pretty. In fact, it's very hard to take, and by all accounts, it's going to be quite hard to stomach. But it's important, and it's healthy to be looking at it in some regards, and certainly to be talking about it. So, Susan, thank you, but particularly Philomena Lee, obviously, with her story so familiar to us. We appreciate her taking the time to talk to us this morning. The text number is 51551.